Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 22nd, episode 641, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Yes, it's Monday. It's Monday.
Feels like
and
one,
don't
doesn't
you think
it?
On Sunday nights, it certainly does. On Sunday nights, when you go to bed, you should wake up rested and refreshed Monday morning. You know, you wake up, you're like, oh, it's a beautiful week. I'm ready to start. No, I woke up at 2:30 maybe, and just sat there. Ah, it's so frustrating. There's so many things about being pregnant that is so frustrating, and apparently lack of sleep is one of them.
Well, that's just to prepare you for what's coming later.
Yeah, I don't want to be prepared. I don't want to start tired. I don't want to start behind the eight ball. You know, I'm already having to make enough changes in my life to where at least, please, please let me sleep. I can't take it anymore. I'm taking Benadryl from now on. I'm not going to miss a night.
Is that on the legal prescribed thing you can take? Benadryl's okay.
That's pretty much as crazy as I can get with a sleeping pill. And it works for me. So
of course, your husband isn't home, so you couldn't wake him up, you know, and drag him into your sleepless night.
Of course not. But I did get to turn the TV on, which I wouldn't have done if he was here. So he's still out of town. I'm working my butt off. You think taking care of this farm with six horses and boarders and riding lessons and all that stuff that I'm still doing, trying to keep all my horses ridden, I am going crazy. And you would think I would just fall into bed at night. No, not at all. It's so annoying.
Now, you said on when did I talk to you? One day I talked to you last week. You said, oh, you know, I've only got, six to eight weeks? And you have stopped riding now, right? I even got asked that by a listener over the weekend.
I have 6 weeks left, and I do have an official announcement to make about that. Since my husband is out of town, I've been really good, not doing any jumping when nobody's home. But last Thursday, I took Edward out. Edward is my off-the-track thoroughbred. We've had to slow training down a little bit with him, for obvious reasons. But I get him out there, and I'm walk, trot, cantering around. And I decided to pop him over some cross rails. I had some gymnastic setups. I took him through a couple bounces, some X's. It is weird when your belly does hit the pommel of the saddle when you're going into 2 points. So
maybe that's a clue.
I had kind of. Well, here's the thing. Here's the clue, Glenn, is the fact that I still cannot walk. I mean, my body has changed so much that I, like, clinging to the jump saddle with my inner thighs, my knees, my calves, you know, and holding on, yeah, that doesn't work anymore. I am still sore. How am I still sore after jumping cross rails? It's just really annoying. So my official announcement is I am done jumping. Trail riding, I can still do. We still need to.
Oh, wait a minute,
But,
that's only half. You're not supposed to be riding at all, like off the horse. Rest, relax.
Well, see, and I thought you would say that, Glenn. I thought you might say that.
Because I'm saying
exactly
what your husband said, right? Right?
Well, yes, but I've got something for all of you. And here's what you can suck on, is that my next-door neighbor, they're, like, super, super religious, like, fundamentalist, super, like, the women wear the long skirts and the long shirts, you know, and the collars up to their neck and the big hats, you know, and they're very, very religious. And that is fantastic. But their daughter comes out, and she's probably like 8 or something, and my arena is right next to their house. And she's watching me ride, and I'm jumping him a little bit. And I stop, and I'm like, hey. She goes, my mom says you shouldn't be riding horses.
and her mom was
and
right.
I look over at her, and I said, no, little friend. I said, how do you think that Mary got to Bethlehem pregnant with the baby Jesus? She rode. She rode the entire way. So
I think she was, first
people,
of all,
Mary
she was riding a
pregnant
donkey.
With the baby Jesus. She rode
she was
a donkey
riding a donkey
country.
That was 12 hands tall. 12-hand tall donkey is a little different than a 16-and-a-half, 17-hand racehorse. Different.
Well, you know what? An 8-year-old is not going to throw that back in my face, Glenn. So I was like, dang it, little girl. Take that to your mom. Mary rode pregnant with baby Jesus. Booyah. So that's for all of you. Get on that.
Okay, we will buy you a donkey that's about 13 hands tall, and you can ride that around your farm. That's what you're allowed to
Jennifer,
ride.
Jennifer, what is coming
Side
up on
saddle.
Today's show? Save your husband.
Call your husband up. Chad?
Jennifer? No, don't you call my
Jennifer?
Husband.
No, I'm here.
Jennifer, what's on today's show? Okay.
Well, I'm just sitting back here laughing about baby Jesus going on today's Omega Alpha Monday
right.
Edition. We're going to get you that jumping donkey that's going around on Facebook. A historic event will occur today when Chrissy Lee Hook may or may not be here at half past the hour to share stories about her horse gal adventures pre- and post-American Idol. And following a rash of questionable equine chit-chat, the laugh track of the horse world, Wiley, will be here with headlines from Horse Nation.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. I have a couple of daily whinnies this morning on this Monday morning. I have two happy birthdays, one to our friend Mark Reed, who we used to work with in the acting company, and who's still out there doing his thing, playing a jester across the country at Renaissance Fairs, and also Jennifer's brother Dan's birthday, so we want to give a great big happy birthday to both of them.
Hold on. Now, let me ask Jennifer an honest question here. Did your husband need to say happy birthday to your brother? Because like my brother, he never, ever will listen to this show, ever. Is your brother Dan ever going to tune into this? Jennifer?
Probably, yeah, but see, we forgot to call him yesterday. So at least when
it
he says you forgot to call me, it gets us off the hook because I can say, I gave you a happy birthday on the radio show. If you'd have listened, you'd have heard it. See? There's a method to my madness. See?
You can turn it around on him and be like, well,
right.
If you'd have listened to my show, then
that's
you would have
right.
heard it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good call. Nice.
Second one goes out to Rhonda and Jason. We had a wonderful time with them. They're listeners out of Canada, legacy listeners. She listens to all the shows. And we had dinner with them at the Rose and Crown in Epcot on Thursday night and had a wonderful afternoon with them at Epcot as well. Now, she will not be listening this morning, but I know she will go back and listen to this when she gets home from her 7-day cruise that she is now on.
Oh, my gosh.
Once they get back from that, I know she'll be catching up. And thank you, Rhonda. We had a great time with those guys. It was a lot of fun. Good time. And she said to say hello and stop riding. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Ah! She did not. I told you I'm done jumping. You should at least be minorly happy about that. Mary, pregnant with baby Jesus, did not jump in her arena on her racehorse, okay? So I get it. I get that. All right. My daily whinny goes out to Frankie Lovato, and it's kind of sarcastic because Frankie Lovato posted this thing, I think it was Saturday, about an auction that was going on online. It's the Golden Years Fund auction for the Acceler Fund. And what the Acceler Fund is they save a lot of retired racehorses and provide them with homes, especially the Golden Years Fund provides, you know, really loving care for older thoroughbreds in the later part of their life. So they have this auction going on. And so I click on it, and I'm like, it's on specialhorses.org. And what do I find? But 100 8x10 photographs of racehorses, from Cigar to Barbaro to Charismatic to Curland to Funnyside, Genuine Risk, all these horses, all the way to Zenyatta. I mean, there was just these beautiful 8x10s of either the headshot or them racing. And let's just say that I won several auctions. And I'd like to thank Frankie for cutting a big part of my checkbook to the Acceler Fund coming up. But what was really cool is I found they even had a picture of Jet's daddy, my horse's daddy, who's racing Lily T, who won the Kentucky Derby in like 1992, one of the biggest upsets ever. So it's not like he has his great bloodlines, but his daddy won the Kentucky Derby, and I found a picture of that. I ended up spending a little more than I wanted to for a photograph of Easy Goer. I ended up getting Unbridled photographs. I went a little crazy. I did get outbid on two of the Zenyatta photos, so I'm a little irritated about that. but it was really fun, and I'll keep you guys up to date on when the next auction is. I emailed them when I'm going to send my check, you know. I said, here, just let me know so I can at least pass it on to you guys that cool stuff like this is going on as a benefit for these older racehorses. So we'll keep you guys posted. But, yeah, thanks, Frankie. Thanks, Frankie. That cost me a lot. Just clicking on your stupid link on Facebook.
Now, what you think of, speaking of Zenyatta, what did you think? What did you think? The big news over the weekend.
I know. They named the baby. They named Baby Z, or Z, Zenyatta, you know, 2012. Yes, they named the first baby, who is a yearling now. And you know, dear God, every horse in the whole wide world at a yearling is ugly. And he is no different. He is, like, so funky.
Kind of gaggly looking.
But... yeah, but he looks like a baby Zenyatta. I mean, he really, like, I think that her current foal, I mean, it's Chestnut, so it doesn't look anything like her. But this one really looks like her, and they named him Cosmic One. And upon first seeing it, I was like, oh, that's cool, because the Cosmic is spelled with a Z. C-O-Z-M-I-C, Cosmic One. And then you read what it means, I guess. And I thought, Cosmic One, that's really cool. Like, you know, he's going to be a big deal. He's part of the cosmic world, and it's got a Z in it. And so every baby has to have a Z in it from now on. And then they wrote, naming a horse is not the easiest thing. This is from Zenyatta.com. Not only does it need to be brilliant, but it also needs to be available. So being born on International Women's Day and Purim, a day of celebration, under a full moon with a star on your forehead, not to mention having Zenyatta be your mom and the firstborn, we searched the stars. And with the desire to have Zenny represented to you, we came up with the name Cosmic One. Well, I didn't need all that information. I just thought the name was good. But now that you've got me all thinking it's all holistic, you know, mumbo jumbo, I don't know if I like it. But I do. I do like the name. I'm glad it has a Z in it. It represents finally the mare, because usually they name babies after the daddy, and I want this one named after the mare. And they at least represent it.
Yeah, and so they say in there, too, they continue to say, so will it be Cause for short? So we'll see if he ends up with Nick or Cos.
What's it like, the Cosby kids? Like,
yeah.
No, don't do Cos. Don't do cause. I wanted them to name it Zenyatta's Firstborn. Seriously, that name was not taken. I mean,
Zenyatta's first baby.
Seriously. And then next one could be Zenyatta's second baby and Zenyatta's third baby. And those names are not taken.
Well, you're going to have some naming of your own here to do soon. So you'll have to be going through. You can also, I have a brilliant idea. You can also check with the stars and the whatever else they did.
I will be consulting. Well, I have people that I hire to do that, Glenn. I sit down in this little room. It's downtown Phoenix. And you go into this little room. This lady has this crystal ball. And you just sit there and you tell her your problems. And you just pay her at the end. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm consulting for names.
Well, I think Yudi, was it Yudi or one of our listeners posted? No, it was Gemma posted on our Facebook page about the L.A. Zoo now put on their carousel a Zenyatta you can ride.
I love that. What a cool thing. I think it's fantastic.
So you can go ride Zenyatta. And this one's safe. I will allow you to ride the Zenyatta on the carousel at the L.A. Zoo. So you're allowed to do that.
Watch the first horse I get bucked off of is going to be Zenyatta as a carousel horse.
That's funny.
I think apparently this is cool, though. This carousel, you apparently what?
I need to call back. So why don't you and Jennifer chat a while?
Okay. Well, this carousel is pretty cool. What, Jennifer?
I said, Glenn's just going to leave the room?
Yeah, he needs to call back. He's got a little delay.
Okay.
So this carousel, Jennifer, is really cool because it's actually at the L.A. Zoo, and it was donated by the Mosses, who owns Zenyatta. And so they've got all these endangered animals that are on this carousel, and they've also got Zenyatta. But here's the cool thing. You know when you get on a carousel and it plays that cheesy little calliope music?
Yeah.
Well, this actually gets to play all the hits that have been on A&M Records, because A&M is Moss's music, so they have the rights to whatever music has ever been released on A&M Records. So they play actual music in this carousel. And all the ride fees go to conservation projects at the zoo. So I think it's really cool.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool they did that. Love it. And I've also got another, speaking of donkeys, Glenn, I've got a donkey story for you.
Okay.
So, you know, they had the London Marathon this past weekend, and a volunteer policeman is a huge animal rights activist. Not animal rights, really. It's not like he's PETA. He wants to raise money and awareness for an organization called SPANA, S-P-A-N-A, which is the Society for the Protection of Animals Abroad. So he is going to be, or he ran the London Marathon, well, he really walked it, in a 40-pound donkey costume. 40 pounds! That's 26.2 miles wearing a giant donkey on his head. If we can post a picture of it at the bottom picture next to the picture of the police officer, Jen, it's in the show notes. Oh, my gosh. This is hilarious. He actually did it. He says, people think I'm crazy to be doing the marathon with a 2.5 stone, of course, they're, you know, in London, but almost 40-pound costume weighing down on me. But it's nothing compared to what some working animals in developing countries are forced to carry for miles every single day of their lives. So he's trying to bring awareness to this organization, which I'd never heard of, and I would like to learn more on. So you got one, but it's really, really neat. So you could have sponsored him. You go to spana.org if you want to learn more. Just really cool.
Well, did you see any follow-up about whether he made it the whole way?
I did not. This was posted on Friday, so I don't know how he did in the donkey costume, but this thing is huge. I mean,
it's
realistic, too.
You could ride this. I mean, we'd let you ride this one, too. I mean, it's big. It looks heavy. I don't know where in those bags.
This
looks heavy.
Yeah, the front view is, like, it's huge. So I don't even know where his air holes are, how he sees.
Well, that's the first thing
really
I thought of is how
good.
Hot would you be and breathing would be a problem. That's what I thought of.
I know.
Yeah. Well, donkeys don't really run very fast, so he probably could get away with walking the whole thing. He was hoping he was hoping to break another record. Apparently there was a record, a donkey costume record already of 7 hours, 47 minutes that he was hoping to break. So.
Oh, well, that's something to work on. Well, I want to break that donkey costume record. Woo! Be famous.
I've
got another one for you, Glenn. Remember we were just talking about PETA? Remember the German branch of PETA were suing or alleging abuse charges on Totalus and all of his horse owners. He's got several owners and the trainer and everything, and they were saying because the warm blood Totalus doesn't get turned out. He said that, you know, he's basically kept in isolation, submitted to the Rolker trainings, and just that his life is awful. Well, they have now officially dropped the charges that were filed last October. The animal welfare officer quickly saw that neither the images nor the videos or any of the evidence was actually wrong, and it wasn't a criticism of the training. It was more of a religious war. The debate was not factual, blah, 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 blah. So PETA has dropped their charges. Totalus and Matthias Rath and all of the trainers and the owners, they're all going to be okay now. Not going to be in too big a trouble.
Wow. Trumped up charges from PETA. Never thought that would happen. Wow.
But it's a stallion. Of course he's going to be kept by himself.
I was just going to say, join the rest of the top-level competition horses in the world who are not turned out and kept by themselves. I mean, welcome to almost all of them. By the way, there was an article in Dressage Daily yesterday, or Dressage News yesterday, that Totalus is apparently healing slower than expected from an injury inflicted during breeding this year. The Black Stallion's German rider said he could give no date for return to competition. Matthias Rath responding to a question whether the injury was career-ending. He was quoted as saying, "These rumors are bull blank. Totalus has suffered a knee injury during breeding in January, but otherwise he's doing very well. He is not a sport invalid. We are looking forward to the moment when we will see him again in a tournament." So there you go. That's his current. Did you hear about him being hurt in a breeding accident?
I was just trying to Google that. Yeah, no, I've never heard that he was hurt. I mean, I don't read Dressage Today,
that.
You know, constantly, but I
apparently
didn't hear that either.
Hurt in a breeding accident. Well, if you're going to get hurt and you're a guy, that's the place to get hurt. Fine. Makes it all worthwhile.
But, I mean, how did he get hurt? Certainly they're not doing live cover. I mean, did he hit his knee on the dummy, you know?
See any explanation here. Maybe somebody that knows how he got hurt in a breeding accident, let me know, because it doesn't really say. They didn't go into detail. I was looking for the details, but I couldn't find them.
I'm Googling it right now. Totalist injured while breeding. You can go to the Chronicle of the Horse.
Oh, they'll have the details.
Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah.
All right. They're all explained the details in there. That's guaranteed. There'll be good stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because I really hadn't heard much about him, and now I know why we hadn't heard much about him. But it was funny. He was like, "That's just full blank."
Yeah. Okay. Do another story. I'll read this one over because I found the story about him being injured.
All right. You read that one. Hey, I got to get on my, while you're doing that, I got to get on my high horse for 2 minutes. Because I'll tell you what, they're doing it again. They're in Congress trying to do it again. It's called the Marketplace Fairness Act. And what they're trying to do is put it through Congress that will require you businesses that sell on the Internet to pay taxes in all 50 states. In other words, you'll be taxed for every purchase you make. Right now, you're only taxed on a purchase on the Internet if the company you're buying it from happens to have an office or a location in your state. Well, what they're trying to do is say that every state will be allowed to tax their own tax. So wherever you live, everything you buy on the Internet will be taxed. The problem with that, though, is that small companies will now have to pay taxes 50 sets of taxes for sales tax to all 50 states. It will be a logistical nightmare for small businesses. Now, they've exempted businesses under that do under $1 million in sales. But when you take, you know, small tax shops that have online businesses, a lot of them, smaller tax shops, smaller tax businesses, or any tax businesses that are online, a lot of them do over $1 million. But can you imagine the bookkeeping? And then some states tax certain things and not other things, you know? Pennsylvania
well, that's
has
the rub right
with,
there.
Yeah. You know,
what's taxed and
you know,
what's not?
Exactly, in every state. And apparently you're going to have to know that, and your systems are going to have to be set up for it. But then you're going to have to physically pay 50 different states based on who buys. It's going to put a lot of small businesses, and you know that really applies to us in the horse world, a lot of small businesses out. They'll just go, I'm not going to do this. It's too much of a hassle. So let's hope that one doesn't get through. That's in Senate right now. It looks like the Senate's going to pass it, but the House is dragging their feet and really having a tough time with it. So that's good.
Sorry, I have dogs going crazy at the fence here. So I'm trying to yell at them listening to you. Now, that makes me wonder, is this going to affect the, like, say, the HRN store, the Horse Radio Network store?
No, but we don't do $1 million worth of sales. I wish. But, no, it will not affect us.
So you have to actually sell $1 million.
Yes. But I'll tell you what, you know, there are a lot of horse tack businesses that do $1 million in sales every year that are going to certainly be affected by this in a big way. It's going to cost a fortune for them to file taxes and all 50, keep track of that, and then, oh, just what a nightmare. Anyway,
well, we don't
another
pay
way,
enough money in tax dollars, you know,
yeah,
so it's really.
And haven't you, I mean, we've all taken advantage of the fact that we can go to the internet and buy something that's not taxed. You know, that we've all taken advantage of that. Well, that'll go away. Everything will be taxed. So, anyway, that was my high horse. What did you find out? How did he get hurt?
Okay. Totalus, his injury was exactly what I said. He twisted his leg while breeding to the Phantom to collect the semen. And this
well, that's
happened.
That's not even exciting.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, how did he hurt himself breeding? I can't find the date on this news story, though.
It said January.
There's no date on.
Must have been somewhere in January. But that's...
I think it was.
Geez, Totalus, you can't even breed a dummy?
God, he's so pretty.
The pretty ones I drove breeding, is that it?
it's just like looking at good-looking dudes, you know? You look at them, it's like, stop, I can't even talk because I'm looking at somebody who's so good-looking. You know what I'm talking about, Jennifer. Come on. I looked at the, what is that website? What is that little Facebook page you have with all those men?
What?
What's that Facebook page you have with all the guy horse people?
Horse Husbands Unite. Horse Husbands Unite. Yes. There have been some very interesting pictures being posted on there, which I am not doing. I'm not responsible.
I would say they border on inappropriate, Glenn.
I'm not the only administrator on that page, so that's not me. Okay. You can't blame me. Jennifer can't blame me. Nobody can blame me. Not me.
Uh-huh. Half-naked cowgirls in there rolling around in hay. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I just want to come out and say I think it's absolutely wrong what they're doing on that page. It's horrible.
I'm sure you feel like that, Glenn.
Terrible. Speaking of which, I got to go check to see what the post is lately.
Now you're back on the couch.
Let's take a break here. We have
I was just going to tell you, speaking of good-looking women, I did go see a movie last night that I think you guys would really like if you haven't seen it already.
Okay.
Have you seen the movie Oz?
No, and I've heard mixed reports about how bad it was.
Oh, my gosh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I mean, it's a great story. It's the story of Wizard of Oz before the Wizard of Oz, before the wizard became the wizard.
A lot of people that saw it didn't like the wizard guy. They thought he was terrible. Did you like him?
No, I thought he did good. Oh, yeah, I thought he was great. James Franco was the wizard, and I thought he did great. But the girls in this movie are just drop-dead gorgeous. Just drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh, well, then we have to go see it.
Mila Kunis at the beginning of the movie looks absolutely just breathtakingly beautiful. You've got the other two women who are the witches were just spectacularly beautiful. It was just I thought it was a really good story, and kind of leads you down the road of how it happened. And I thought James Franco did a good job, and I think you'd like it. Jennifer, you'd like it because James Franco is adorable, and Glenn, you'd like it because there's pretty girls.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to go see it.
Well, that's all it takes, right there.
There you go.
All right, let's take a break for a commercial. Then when we come back, I know that Christy Lee Cook's going to be here because actually Jennifer and I recorded this interview last week.
I still don't buy it.
Christy Lee Cook.
The sound file's going to be broken.
Yeah, watch, it won't work. I edited it myself. I know the sound file is there anyway. Christy Lee Cook was seventh on the seventh season of American Idol. She's a horse girl and just released a new single called Airborne Ranger Infantry about her father who fought in Vietnam. And it's been getting some critical acclaim from that. So we're going to take a break for Omega Alpha. And then you're going to come back and hear this interview that Jennifer and I did with American Idol Christy Lee Cook.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And I have on the line here Kyle Carter, who is an international eventer and well-known throughout the eventing world, who uses Omega Alpha products. Kyle, I understand that you started using Omega Alpha about a year ago.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a year and have noticed a remarkable difference in the horses that have been on it. And then if they've come off of it, the horse's health always has been better on it. It's one of the few supplement companies that I wholeheartedly believe in.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You know, Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for all of their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
I did want to say before we get into the interview with Christy Lee that we did have a little bit of an issue with the sound when we recorded this. So I just wanted to say that there was a little bit of an echo, but it wasn't too bad. So enjoy.
A picture of my mama right by his heart. He gave it one last look before the fight would start. He said, all I ask is that you don't forget, 'cause the war's not over when the fighting ends. There's a part of me that will always see just a boy in Airborne Ranger Infantry.
Well, hi, Christy Lee. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Horse Radio Network. We appreciate you taking time out.
Hey, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Now, I just listened to Airborne Ranger Infantry again, and I'll tell you what, it makes me cry every time.
It's a powerful song.
It is, and then I was reading some of the comments underneath it, and you have affected so many people who served in every war with that song.
Yeah, I didn't know what the song would do when we released it. I just kind of, wrote it for my dad and for everybody that had served and is serving, and it just kind of became, an anthem for a lot of people, and it was really neat to see how much of an impact that it has.
Well, it definitely has. Now, did you write it yourself?
I wrote it with a couple of friends of mine, Michael Logan and Luke Sheets, and we took my dad's poems and just, took pieces out of each poem and put them all together, and Michael Logan came up with the melody. It was, as soon as he started playing the melody, we knew that, that was it, and it was just really, really neat. The way it all, came together, it was just perfect.
And it's one of those songs that sticks with you as well.
Yeah, it's definitely got a powerful and, just a really kind of sad but also real lyric to it,
Well, Jennifer and I are huge fans of yours. We voted for you when you were on American Idol. As we said earlier, you were in the seventh season, and you came in seventh place. And then we got, we got to see you on the tour, too, so that was fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a, where did you guys see me at on the tour?
We saw you, was it in Massachusetts or Pennsylvania? I don't remember now where we were at the time.
Okay.
We've seen most of the tour shows. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Now,
we had a great time on this.
I was surprised when I looked and was doing my research today how long ago it was already. Like, it's really been that long ago?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? It was 2008 is when I was on there.
I know. It's been 5 years.
5 years ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, now, you did take some flack, by the way, not from us, but you took some flack because one of the things that came out in the show, and there were some horse people upset about this, is that you sold one of your horses to be able to go do the show. Now, to as a point, Jennifer and I have sold horses to do things as well when we needed the money. I mean, most horse people have. There were a few out there that were like, how could you do that? Well, it's a fact of life when you're a horse person.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it was, I had a couple that I didn't want to sell him, and it was priorities. It was like, you know, I've got too many horses right now, and I was going to put the other one up that I was training to sell anyways, because that's kind of something that I like to do as well. I like to get young horses or rescue a horse and retrain them and rehabilitate them and then find them a good home. That way I can rescue more horses, you know. So that was kind of one thing that I had done, but this one, Montana, I bought him at an auction, and I paid $320 for him, and I just, when I first saw him, there was just something about him that I just, like, fell in love with, and I was not going to let the guy there buy him. He was buying all the cheap horses for, you know, small, and so I was like, you're not getting this horse, and so... I got lucky and I got him and took him home, and he was just the most animated, funny horse I've ever owned. And I didn't want to sell him. I patterned him, I trained him, he was so awesome, and I really didn't want to sell him. That's why I put like two other ones up for sale at the same time, and I marked him up hoping that he wouldn't sell. You know, I was kind of like, well, you know what, if somebody wants him, they're gonna have to pay the money for him, because I don't want to sell him. And I honestly didn't think that somebody was going to pick him out of the other ones that I had, and they did. and they came, they drove 6 hours and came down and rode him and fell in love with him. And the next day they bought him and took him back home, and the guy's had him ever since. He keeps in touch with me, and I'm really happy that he's got a good home. That's one of the things that I make sure that the horses get if I do, you know, have a horse that I sell, is that I find him a good home. And so he got a good home, and that was, you know, my main priority. He keeps in touch with me all the time, and it's just really neat that he's still, you know, keeping in touch and kind of keeping me posted on how he's doing. And he actually won Horse of the Year, I think once or twice, and he broke a couple records in barrel racing up in Washington. So,
oh, cool.
He became quite a little stud horse.
That's pretty cool. Now, growing up, Christy Lee, were you a kid who sang a lot and loved horses, or were you a horse kid who sang a lot?
I was a horse kid that sang a lot. My first experience on a horse was when I was 2 years old. I sat on a big gray racehorse up at, what's the old racetrack down at in Washington? I can't remember. My dad used to work at Long Acres. And my dad used to work there when he was younger, but I sat on a big gray thoroughbred, and then I had been in love with horses ever since. And then I started, you know, I was singing when I was little, but I didn't like, think I was going to be a singer one day. I just sang, you know, I thought that was normal. And and so when I got a little older, when I was about 13, I had already been riding and stuff, and that's when I kind of decided that I wanted to become a singer. So I did.
there you went. So did you have an immediate affinity for barrel racing, or did you try lots of different disciplines before you settled into barrel racing?
Most of it was you know, when I was younger, like, we didn't have a lot of money and stuff, and I rescued a little horse for $300, and she was a little Arabian. She was my first horse, and I think I was about 12, I think I was maybe 11. I was riding my friend's horses up until then, but when I got about 11 or 12, I was able to get my own horse, and I did all my own training, and I had a, lady where I was boarding helped me with Midnight, and kind of at that age, I was more of the, like, let's go off in the mountains in the middle of nowhere by ourselves kind of person. So I just, I was very brave and had a lot of crazy experiences, and that horse was like my guardian angel at times, and, you know, we had just so many experiences. I mean, I was homeschooled, so after school, I would literally go ride up in the mountains for, like, 5 hours in the mountains by myself, you know, and it was just, it was an experience, but it was a lot of fun. So I was more of, like, a trail riding crazy person.
You know how many of our listeners right now are jumping up and down and screaming and give their eye teeth to have grown up like that?
Yeah, I was very fortunate. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better way of, you know, homeschooling was so great because I had the one-on-one attention, and I had more time with my family and my mom, and actually school wasn't as long. I didn't have the peer pressure, and it made my morals and everything else just strong, you know, and I learned a lot, and then it was like, man, when school was over, I still played, you know, sports with the high school, and I went to all the dances, but I was just like, y'all have, you know, all these class breaks and hours and hours of school, and I'm riding my horse in the mountains. It was really fun.
Well, you know, most parents want their kids to get into horses, especially girls, because they find boys later. Did that happen with you, too?
I got my first boyfriend when I was 17.
Oh, well, then
yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, yeah. He played baseball. I was playing softball.
So now you also do some trick training, because I just saw a picture that you posted on Twitter or Facebook. I don't know which one of you beside a horse that was sitting down. You find that fun? Is that a good time?
Yeah, you know, every horse that I get in, you know, that I rescue or whatnot or I'm training, I always lay them down. It just kind of helps them to trust you, you know, and it kind of teaches them that they, like, a lot of horses I've gotten, and, you know, they've had a bad life previously, and they don't trust humans, and so they fight really hard, and it's a matter of, like, giving in and just, you know, going, okay, I'm choosing to do this, you know? Like, I like to give horses opportunities to make their own choices, and instead of just telling them what to do, I like to give them the option, and then they can decide, you know? It's just a lot of my horses that have come in and a lot of them that have gone out, they once they've laid down, it just changes their attitude a lot on trust, and it just helps them a lot. It's really weird. I don't know what it is, but it's like being reborn again kind of thing. You get them down and you just set them all over, and it's a lot of fun. And I know you know the friend of mine that taught me how to do that was Dan James of Double Dan Horsemanship.
Oh, yeah. We've had Dan on.
Yeah. So he's a good buddy of mine. He's one of my best friends, and he taught me a lot.
Yeah. Road to the horse, Dan James. Yeah.
Well, fast forward a few years, post American Idol, Christy Lee Cook, musician and country music star, is now crazy busy, and judging by your Facebook page, travels continuously 24/7. How has the role that the horses in your life has that changed from Christy Lee, the horse gal who sang a lot, to Christy Lee, the musician who has horses?
It's a lot different, I will tell you, because horses are kind of my therapy, and they just make me so happy. And singing makes me so happy, but it also can be very stressful. And so I really like to get away and, you know, have horses. Unfortunately, I don't have any horses here in Tennessee. All my horses are being ridden by my best friend. She's going to go for her pro card this year with a couple of my girl horses. And so it's just kind of, you know, it's sad because I don't get to see them, but I'm also debating on bringing one over here because it's just torture being here without any of my animals. And so it's really different, you know, because I am so busy, but I wanted to be smart about it if I did bring a horse. You know, I didn't want him to just sit and, you know, never see me. So it's really a lot of process trying to figure out when's a good time to bring it, if I should. And, you know, I don't want to bring one over here and them see me once a month. So I'd have to find somewhere that would work them and give them attention. And that's hard to do, too. So, yeah, it's a totally different world than the other way around when I was it was horses, you know. Now it's work, and then, you know, maybe every now and then I get to go play.
There you go. Well, all the better for it. So you were on American Idol, and many, many, many folks all over the world idolized you because you got to live that dream of becoming a musician. Do you have a horse idol, somebody in the horse universe that really had a huge influence on you or that you would love to meet someday?
I do have somebody that was a great influence on me working me with horses. He taught me how to cut. His name's Punk Carter out of Texas. He's a Hall of Fame cutting trainer. And he used to be a judge at the NCHA. And he's a very good person. His whole family is just amazing. And, you know, I kind of looked up to him, and I learned how to cut from him. And he was my coach, and, you know, and it was just a lot of fun being able to work with somebody of his status, you know, because, I mean, he's a very big trainer. I don't know if you guys know him, but, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame, and he just has amazing horses. And, he's kind of one of the ones that I looked up to growing up horse-wise. And I would, you know, I'm trying to think if there's someone that I wanted to meet, because the other person that I really admire their training is obviously Dan, because I think it's amazing mm-hmm. that their horses, what they can do. I went riding with him down in Australia one time, and I was on his horse bareback and bridleless going on a trail ride, and I'm like, okay, if I had my horse doing this right now, he's a racehorse. And I swear, like, I would die, because he would just be racing through the mountains. And you know, I mean, he's like, okay, touch her here to stop and touch her here to turn. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, okay, what if I forget and I touch him where he's supposed to go faster instead of stop? So, you know, they're so trained. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And so I definitely look up to him and his training techniques because, you know, obviously, this last year he had a rough go. I know Dan really well, and I know his ability to train, and I know that for where he placed this year, and watching that little horse he was working, he had a really, really tough horse. And sometimes you just get those, you know. Sometimes you just get the luck of the draw, and it's a bad horse, and they're just stubborn as you know. He's definitely probably one of the best trainers I've ever seen. So I look up to his training for sure.
And, of course, you know, you're talking about Road to the Horse this year, where we just had Guy McLean on, I think, last week. And we've followed Guy since he's come over here. Of course, he and Dan are very good friends. And, you know.
Yeah.
And fellow Australians, but they know each other pretty well, and they do some things together, and they do make a good team. And, of course, they were a team last year. Well, Christy Lee, thank you so much for joining us and talking about your horses. We really appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice back.
Hey, no problem.
And that you're,
I know.
You know what it did do? It gave you time to spend with your horses over the last couple of months. Things always happen for a reason, right?
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, that was the best break. I was with my horses for about 3 months, and it was really nice. I didn't like not talking, that stuff.
We did get to see you, pictures of you riding into town. Was it a fast food or a ice cream place you ride through? I forget now.
Well, every time we'd haul into town, we'd go to the fairgrounds and work at the arena. And, you know, in town there was a Dairy Queen and a Dutch Brothers coffee stand. And we always went to Dairy Queen and Dutch Brothers. That's kind of our thing. And it's a lot of fun. You know, we're walking on the sidewalk and stopping at the light, waiting for it to turn green. And I've always ridden in towns, and it's been, you know, it's just something that's so much fun. And it's funny because it's, you know, that's kind of how it was back in the day, and people should do it more often because it's super fun.
Thank you, Christy Lee. We appreciate you being on. Christy Lee Cook, give out your website.
It's ChristyLeeCook.com, and thank you for having me on anytime.
You did it. You got her on. Officially, Christy Lee Cook was on the show. I never thought it would happen. Guys, I'll be honest with you. The reason that I wasn't on this interview is because they recorded it in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm like, I am not stopping my day to come and sit here and not get phone calls from Christy Lee Cook. And it happened. You did it. I'm very proud of you guys.
Yep, she showed up, so apparently she was off for quite some time because she hurt her vocal cords and wasn't allowed to talk. So, but as soon as she was allowed to talk again, the agent got back to Jennifer and they booked the interview. So we won one here. We got one.
Well, let me just tell you that next week, Snoop Dogg, right here on Horses in the Morning. It's going to happen. I've only been waiting 15 years now for Snoop Dogg to call. He stood me up 47 times on real radio. But this is going to be the show.
And just as to keep our karma up, Leslie at BBR Management, thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you,
Leslie. I wouldn't have got it.
Very good.
Is she the one that's getting us Snoop Dogg? Is that what you're saying, Jennifer?
Yes, and she's going to get us Willie Nelson and... yeah, Brad Pitt, too.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
No, thank you for... Obviously, she's a very nice girl and loves playing with her ponies, and it was nice to talk to her. That song that you heard a little clip of there is doing very well and is a real hit among veterans and with veterans groups and stuff around it. And word of mouth has really taken that song and is making her a few dollars along the way, so... Good for her.
Now, can we play her music, or is it protected because it's not, like, free, you know?
Correct. Yes, I could play a little snippet there, but that was about it. So,
bring that up to Jason Aldean, her producer.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I'll tell you somebody's music we can play, and that's Templeton Thompson, and we're going to hear one of her songs called Unstoppable right after this word from WinTech.
Many riders know the frustration that comes from their saddle not fitting or no longer fitting. Many hours and many more dollars are often spent trying to compensate for a poor fit or buying another saddle, only to have the same thing happen again months later. Enter the Easy Change Fit Solution, available on WinTech Easy Care Saddles. By combining the Easy Change Gullet System introduced over 15 years ago with the new Easy Change Riser System, WinTech now offers an unparalleled scope of adjustment for a total fitting solution that's not only easy, but measurable, giving total confidence to be able to make changes to the saddle. Whether you're a serious competitor or ride horses for the sheer joy of it, choose a saddle with the Easy Change Fit solution that puts your horse's comfort first. Enjoy the peace of mind in knowing that your saddle offers full adjustability and is able to meet the changing needs of your horse. Find out more today at EasyChangeFitSolution.com.
I'm so happy, so lucky. Crank it up loud, yeah, it's good to be me. It's so easy to see why everybody wants to be free. 'Cause I'm moving and grooving and dreaming and singing at the top of my lungs. I'm an unfortunate one. Finally found a place in the sun. I'm unstoppable. parade. I hate to rain on his parade. Ain't nothing gonna stand in my way.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson in Unstoppable. You can find all of her music over at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. And we are sponsored this show by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at omegaalphaequine.com. I'd like to point everybody, if you didn't get a chance to take a listen to last week's Stable Scoop show, it's episode 244, called Catch a Star and Cauliflower Controversy. Jamie, we got to have Caitlin Sillman on. Do you remember who Caitlin is?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
She was the one, she works for Boyd Martin, and she was there at the time of the big fire that they had a couple of years ago there in Pennsylvania. She was actually one of the ones that was living in the apartment there and helped rescue a lot of the horses. Well, one of the horses that she helped rescue was her horse, her mare, and her mare had third-degree burns over like 30% of her body, and they weren't sure that she was ever going to be able to ride again and all of that. And she tells their amazing story of her bringing this horse back to health and then riding again. And Caitlin, this year, right now, is on her way to Rolex for her first Rolex,
wow.
And Catch a Star, her mare that was burned in the fire, her first Rolex, too. So they both are going to their first Rolex. Right now they're on their way. I just saw on their Facebook page. So.
Oh, my gosh, I want to play that interview on this show. I want to hear it.
I know. She was a lot of fun. And I think she's been on the eventing show before. But she is so, so excited about getting, you know, she's been to Rolex 100 times helping Boyd with all of his horses. But now she gets to go and help out with and ride with her own horse. And I also wanted to say another show to listen to is last week's dressage show, because they had Reese and Philip had Silva Martin on, who is Boyd's wife, who was a dressage rider and trainer for many, many eventers. And she talks about the differences in dressage from regular dressage to eventing dressage and how it's different and how she trains different. And it was a very interesting interview as well. If you're interested in Rolex, take a listen to last week's dressage radio show.
Yeah, sounds good. I want to hear both those. So if you could just take both those interviews and put them on our show, we'll take the day off.
Always looking for time off to go out there and be bad riding your horse when you shouldn't be.
Well, let's go ahead, and speaking of being bad, let's get Leslie on the phone. Leslie from Horse Nation. Hello, Leslie.
Hey, guys.
Let me ask you a question. Are you guys someday, maybe, you don't have to answer this question, but someday if you're planning a family, will you continue to ride as long as possible, or will you be one of those girls that's like, oh, I'm pregnant, I quit?
Oh, my gosh, that is a tough one. I don't know. I think maybe it's one of those things that you just kind of, you don't know until you get there. You know, like, I know that there's people that, you know, have ridden, like, they've jumped around Rolex when they're pregnant, you know. And then there's other people who just, you know, hang it up as soon as they find out they're pregnant. So I don't know.
Yeah, but
you're like my test, you're like the test run.
Don't do it. Don't do what she does, Leslie. Don't look to her for an example.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I hit 8 months, Leslie, and I finally realized I have to stop jumping. So that was my that's my new thing. However, I will tell you, my coach, of course, Barb Crabo, is like, well, I ran a 2-star when I was 5.5 months pregnant. I'm like, that's because you're crazy. Like, I did stop cross country pretty early on after the first trimester. But, yeah, you know, you got to do what you feel is right. But as an eventer, which I saw some of your pictures running intermediate, which are fantastic, and I want to ask you about that in a second. But as an eventer, can you imagine sitting there for, like, 11 months and letting your horse just wait?
No, but you know it would be fun if you had a mare and you could, like, have a baby at the same time. Wouldn't that be cute? Oh, my God.
Well, that's not going to work for me. I have gelding. So, right on, sister. Right on. Now, let me ask you about this post I saw on Facebook, because you posted some really fantastic pictures of you running intermediate, and then you said, we'll get them another day or something like that. What happened?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think maybe we made it to jump 17. We made it to jump 17 this time.
And that's better than last time.
That's right. I know. Next time we'll make it all the way around. No, it was a bounce into water, and he jumped it, and then he was like, I don't understand how I'm going to fit all my feet in here. And so I think he just didn't quite understand the question, and that's kind of my fault. It's like, you know, that's something we should have. But that's the interesting thing about eventing, is you never know what's going to show up on your cross-country course. You just kind of have to try and be prepared for all of it. And, you know, I guess we haven't quite, given him the skills to answer that particular question. But he was super up until that point, so I can't complain. We'll get him next time.
Like my girlfriend out here who's run 2 intermediates now. She did her second one, and then she had a helmet cam on for her second intermediate. And she goes galloping, and this is at Galway Downs, and she's just flying through the course, all these big ones, and then she gets to like a ditch that was sideways with the jump going the other way over it, and you see her galloping each fence, jump, gallop, 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 jump, gallop, gallop, whoop, ground.
Oh, whoa. No.
Yeah, witnessing a fall with a helmet cam is pretty exciting. Granted, she's okay, but she's worried about losing qualifications for intermediate, so she's going to go back and do one prelim to get a little bit more success under her belt and then go back. But I do, you know, it's just kind of, I guess, part of it when you move up. That's a huge jump from prelim to intermediate, and good for you. I will never do that because it's crazy.
It is crazy. I've thought that myself frequently lately.
It is. It is. So, I mean, that says something because you're riding it. What is going on horsenation.com? I did see one of the very popular stories, and Jennifer and Glenn were talking about it before the show this morning, was the size of these horses.
Yes, we did a post on, I started looking into some of the biggest horses in the world, and the ones that have sort of held. Seems like the Guinness Book of World Records has, you know, it sort of gets that honor of the world's biggest horse or tallest horse kind of gets, you know, somebody will hold it for a few years and then along comes a bigger horse and then it gets passed on. And so I just sort of started looking into these giant horses. I think the horse that is currently holding the record is 20.2 hands tall. His name is Poe. He is a Clydesdale who lives in Ontario. And he is, oh my goodness, I started looking into it. So 20, to just put this in context, 20.2 hands is 6 feet 10 inches at the weather.
Holy cow.
That's crazy.
That's 10 feet 10 inches at the ears.
yes. And 10 feet tall, they say, with his head held high. He eats two bales of hay a day, 10 pounds of grain, and 75 gallons of water. And get this, his owner is 5'3".
That'd be like you, Jamie, owning this horse.
Wow.
I'm not sure a stepladder would be. I'm not sure a stepladder would be tall enough for you to get up to the top of his head.
Can you imagine? Oh.
You know, one poop pile fills a muck tub. Just full.
I hadn't even thought about that. Imagine cleaning that horse's stall.
Oh, my gosh. How long does it take a horse to eat two bales of hay? Like, that horse would have to be eating all the time. I know it's bigger, and so maybe it eats a little faster, but that is a... imagine carrying a bale into your horse's stall and cutting the strings off, and that was, like, his breakfast. Oh, my God. No.
The price of hay in Florida, I can't imagine it at all, to be honest with you.
No, I know.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And then, so there's a whole bunch of them on here. It's 7 supersized horses, and it's just absolutely incredible. Some of these horses are spectacularly beautiful, even with their giant size. But I wonder how can you keep a horse that big sound?
I don't know.
I'll tell you, we had Percherons, and the biggest we ever had was probably 18 and a half hands. And one of the things the draft breeds have trouble with is their feet, as you would expect. But some of the breeds, like Percherons, have trouble with abscesses, and we were constantly battling abscesses with our Percherons. One was worse than the others, but yeah, feet are an issue. And not only that, the farriers tend to want to charge you a lot more to put shoes on those big feet for some reason.
My goodness. Yeah, it seems like they would need a couple of assistants to help hold up their hooves.
That is true. You used to clean their feet and you used to clean the front and then take a break and do some other grooming and then come back and clean the back because they're so heavy. You were worn out.
This is when my husband would go, well, how would they survive in the wild? I mean, how can horses like that survive in the wild? I mean, they survive in the wild. And I'm like, no, horses like this die in the wild. They're not tiny little Mustangs, okay?
Except for that ladies in really bad ads last week, I don't think we're seeing too many 18-hand Mustangs out there.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I did love the horses of a different color, thoroughbreds of a different color. And you just got to go on and see this because there's a lot of racehorses, paint, palomino, the white, bald faces. It's just really, really cool. And then I started scrolling down and I saw the thoroughbred names. Ridiculous racehorse names.
Where do people come up with these racehorse names? They're ridiculous.
I like the first one. I hadn't seen the first one before.
Why
kick a moo cow? That's pretty good.
I appreciate number 6, my spineless jellyfish. What kind of name is that?
What about number 7, full of Skittles? Like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Hey,
but I tell you.
Number 8's pretty good, I think, actually. Red Hot Chili Pepper. That's pretty good. I like that one.
I like number 9, Stotally Tober, man. Stotally Tober. Totally sober. But what I do want you to know, Leslie, that there are some other ones. And, like, I follow on Facebook because I thought it was just the funniest name. And I actually saw it on the Blood Horses, like, part of an article. And I looked at the horse and had a Facebook page. And the horse's name is Yummy with Butter. Which everything is yummy with butter. But why would you name your horse that?
I don't know about that.
Oh, I love it.
Have you guys seen, there's a few of these online, you can probably Google it, but like racehorse name generators, you can go to these sites and they'll sort of generate, you know, like how you can like there's, you maybe have seen like pirate name generators or like gangster name generators. Well, there's also a few racehorse name generators out there. So you can, if I guess maybe that's how people come up with these completely random these completely random names.
I'm Googling it right now. Oh, you have to be a member for that website. Let's go back. Let's click on some. Tell us about the videos you have online while I'm generating racehorse names.
Oh, yeah. We have just a couple of totally random ones this week. One is this video of a horse. You know, there's some people sort of use like horse grooming vacuums on their horse's coat. Well, there's a video of this person vacuuming their horse's tongue, and the horse seems to just be loving it, just eating it up.
I saw that. That horse was liking it, getting his tongue vacuumed, sticking it out and licking the vacuum. Now, honestly, though, can you say have you ever tried it? Sticking the vacuum up there, maybe it feels good.
I haven't. I don't know. I don't know.
I've never even seen a vacuum until I lived in the Northeast. We just didn't have them in the South because sometimes you can bathe your horse in the wintertime. But to see a horse vacuum, to me, was at first a shock. I'm like, wait a second, you vacuum your horse? And then to realize this horse was sticking his tongue actually on the flat of it. Like, I mean, it was really, really, really funny. So go to horsenation.com and see that one. Now, I haven't watched the other video. What is that?
Oh, the other one is this horse.
I love this.
It's playing with a plastic trash can in its paddock. And at one point, it gets it. And at first, I was like, when I saw this video, I was like, oh, no. Or I saw the sort of screenshot of it. I thought, oh, no, this is going to be bad because it's a picture of this horse kind of cantering with a trash can on its head, and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to end well, you know, that's this poor horse. And but then you know, the horse is sort of cantering around with this trash can on its head, and then it gets out of it, and it is not flustered, it is not, you know, it's just like keeps playing with it. So it's really pretty cute.
It is cute. I like that one. And he really does like that trash can. I mean, what horse, have you ever seen a horse want to stick his head in something like a trash can?
No.
No. And then carry it around and bang it against the fence. And
yeah.
We had a cow once. We came out in the morning. We had a couple of cows when we had our big farm. And we came out in the morning. The cows had a cow shed. It was a concrete block shed that had a couple windows in it and stuff. We came out in this morning, and I said to Jennifer, what is that around the cow's neck? The cow had stuck his head through the window. There's no glass, but it stuck his head through the window, and apparently somehow when he brought his head back out of the window, took the whole window frame with him. So he was walking around the field with a window frame around his head.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah, we have a picture of it somewhere. That was in the days before digital cameras, but we have an actual picture of the cow with the window frame on his head somewhere.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you can find these stories and all the other ones at horsenation.com. Leslie, what do you guys have coming up?
Oh, you never know. I never know.
That means you don't
know. She doesn't know.
I do have something for you. I do have something for you. Because you did a segment on how to keep your horse close to you. And just tell everybody what that was real quick.
Oh, yeah. One of our readers sent in this story about how she, you know, you've seen that people sort of crafting things out of horsehair before, like people who will take a little lock of their horse's tail and braid it into a bracelet or something. Well, this woman was sort of taking it to the next level. She had found a tooth cap from her horse, and she had it sort of sent it to this woman to be, I don't know, it looks like it almost, not bronze, but like sort of painted, and she made it into a bracelet for her. And it just looks like an artsy piece of jewelry, except for, you know, but she, you know, the woman knows the wearer of it knows that it's actually her horse's tooth cap.
Okay, well then, I want you to go to this website. It's called equinite.com, EQUINITE.com. And they are beautiful gemstones created by hand for pieces of jewelry. And you can pick out the jewelry from charms to rings to earrings to bolo ties to hat bands, money clips. And you find these beautiful gemstones, which are actually your horse's hoof.
Really?
You've got to take it out. I actually have saved some clippings, and someday I will send them a piece of my event horses. I've got to save up some good money, because to have it custom made, it's obviously going to be a little more expensive. But they can process your horse's hoof, like a little chunk of it, and sterilize it. It doesn't stink. They shape it. They seal it. And then they put it into, like, pieces of jewelry. And some of them look really, really pretty. Some of them look brown and gross, but some of them look really pretty.
Huh. I'll have to check that out.
There you go, hot tip. Equinite.com. I want credit.
Hey, Leslie, before you go, I have an update here. I checked out Yummy with Butter on Facebook, and I think Yummy with Butter is probably not doing very well, because the last post was July 4th, 2012, and before that there were several posts saying I was fourth, I was fifth, I was fourth, I was fifth, I was fourth, and then nothing. There's been nothing since July 4th, 2012. So I'm guessing the butter has, melted and everything. Yummy with Butter is now.
If you go to his Facebook page and you look over on where the people can post, on his page, you will see a message that says, "How are you doing these days?" Who wrote that message, Glenn? Who wrote that message?
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did.
And what day was that? December 19th, 2012. I'm like, hey. Yummy with Butter, where are you? How's it going? So much. Nobody else cares.
maybe he got sold. Maybe he got sold through Canner or something, and one of your listeners will be like, "I know that horse," and they can let you know where.
Yeah, I'm gonna Google it right now.
We'll find him.
Did you put him on your adoption list, Jamie? You know how you can do that through the registry.
Sure. I should. What's that website?
Oh, that was Jennifer might know. That was the
Thoroughbred
the jockey. Thoroughbred Connect. That's right. Do you know about that one, Leslie?
I don't.
Thoroughbred Connect, yeah. If you see a racehorse that you really like, let's say you go to the track and you bet on one and the horse wins and you win lots of money and all of a sudden you fall in love, then you can go to Thoroughbred Connect and put your name down, and then when the owners want to go sell it, they can check Thoroughbred Connect and contact you about getting the horse.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Listen, it's bull. It is total bull. The owners of Zenyatta have not called me yet. And she retired. I actually have submitted for like 9 horses, because I watch TVG or I see something like, I'm like, oh my God, he's so pretty. And I totally submit on there. So one day I'm going to get a call from like 9 different people, be like, "We've got your horse." Great. Can only take none. But yeah, Thoroughbred Connect, you should post about that. You should also post about the equinite.com. See, we're just here to help you.
That's
what we
it.
Do. Hey, are
more
you going up to Rolex? Go. Are you heading to Rolex?
I am. So I'll look for you guys. I'm actually the party. I have talked Eventing Nation into letting me throw a keg party, tailgate party, free beer for Eventing Nation and Horse Nation readers, sort of a reader appreciation party. So
I've got to tell you that I saw that. Actually, I think I saw it on eventingnation.com, and I am so devastated that I can't go. I mean, just to finally meet you guys and to meet all these people I've been reading for some time, and I'm sure all of them have been listening to me for years. So they really want to meet me too. I'm so devastated I can't go, and I wish we could. But yeah, if you guys want to meet Leslie, where are you guys going to be and when?
We will have all the specifics up on the website sometime this week, and but we'll be up in the tailgate section on Saturday.
On Cross Country
all,
Day?
All day long. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Okay.
All day long. Yep. So come up.
Free
we'll
beer.
We'll have a cookie cake, free beer, cornhole. Yep. It's going to be a good time.
Now, are you heading in Wednesday, or when are you going up?
I'm just going to drive up for Saturday this year. So I'll drive up early. I just live about 2 hours away. So just drive up early Saturday morning and drive back after that.
Cool. Well, let's hope. I hope you have a tornado-free and thunderstorm-free Rolex this year.
Well, we can always hope.
Yeah.
Awesome. Leslie Wiley, horsenation.com. You guys check it out. And also you can keep checking horsenation.com. Find out where you can meet Leslie and throw a cornhole in her face. I mean, meet
right.
her and shake her hand.
And drink all her beer.
And drink all her
right.
beer.
Absolutely.
All right, Leslie, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. See you soon.
All right.
Okay, all right, bye.
Leslie.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to be warm this year for Rolex. Wednesday, they're calling in Lexington for 54 degrees as a high, 61 Thursday, 61 Friday, and Saturday, at this point, there's a 50% chance of thunderstorms and a high of 57.
You know what? The past couple of years have been pretty nice at Rolex, so they're due.
Yeah, well, remember it was 2 years ago we had the tornado evacuation. We had all had to leave the park early on Cross Country Day.
I thought that was more than 2 years ago, but I could be wrong. Yeah,
was it?
I mean, I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know. I can't remember either. They all run together after a while. Hey, a couple more little things as far as news is concerned. Robert Dover has been approved as the U.S. chef to keep for the dressage team. And for the United States dressage team, Robert lives in Wellington. He is a six-time veteran of the Olympics. He rode in 84, 88, 92, 96, 2000, and 2004. He won team bronze medals in 92, 96, 2000, and 2004. So he knows his stuff. He's been to many world championships. And I think the feeling is I got to talk to a couple of the dressage riders, and it sounds like they're happy with this. He will be the next chef to keep pending contract negotiations. So I guess if they can agree on money, he will be the one. But he was selected by the United States Federation's Executive Committee, which is the one that picks those kind of people. So
well, good deal.
Congratulations to Robert. And then also, one other thing, too, in Canada, they pick a top racehorse every year, and for 2012, they picked a horse called Uncaptured. Uncaptured was picked as Canada's 2012 Horse of the Year during the Sovereign Awards ceremony in Toronto, and the Sovereign Awards honor the achievements in Canadian racing and presented by the Jockey Club of Canada. And Uncaptured is a 2010 Son of Lionheart, who won six of his seven outings, including the 2012 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. So congratulations to all the people around Uncaptured in Canada.
I don't understand how Black Caviar doesn't win Horse of the Year in every country.
Have there been any follow-up stories on whether he's enjoying his vacation?
She, by the way.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Number two, I sent you some audio, actually, and it's Peter Moody and the owners announcing her retirement. And I'm sorry, it just chokes me up to see a grown man cry, especially when it's about a horse. And they've got her kind of parading around a little shift bit, and she's walking around, and they're doing a little mini press conference at the track announcing her retirement. We should get that audio because, oh, my God, when you hear Peter Moody, who's like, I haven't cried in 25 races, and he's like, voices cracking, announcing her retirement and why they're doing it. Anyway, it was just kind of straight out of, you know, quote unquote, the horse's mouth. And so it's actually a pretty good little press conference interview type thing. So maybe we'll bring that to you on Wednesday. If not, I'll post it on our Facebook page.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on this Monday morning. We hope that you have a wonderful rest of the day. I'll be back with Tune Tuesday tomorrow, and of course we'll be back on Wednesday with the Wheel of Trivia, and it seems like we got some good response to adding the theme shows in there, theme songs of different TV shows that involve horses. I'll try and find some more current ones, but it seems like all the one, you know, the classic horse related TV shows are really old. I got to look for some new ones.
And you know what? I'll come up with some ideas. I'll help you.
Yeah, you do that. But the problem is, most TV shows, if you think about it nowadays, don't have theme songs. They just start.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, they've gotten away from that. There's a few. Big Bang Theory has a theme song. And there's a couple others I can think of, but most of them don't. So it's going to be harder to find the current ones. But we'll keep. I'll keep looking, and we'll do that. We'll promise we'll do that again on Wednesday. Everybody that wants to play along.
All right. Well, everybody have a great day. It's Monday, so try to hang in there, and it'll be over soon. Don't forget spay, neuter, and geld.
And don't forget, only donkey. 12-hand donkey. We'll find a jumping one for you. 12-hand jumping donkey. That's all you're allowed to run.
I'm sorry. That's the greatest point I've ever made, ever. Land a child.
Woo!